Welcome to the June 28th, 2019 edition of the Crypto.IQ Daily Radio Show, where we do a deep dive market analysis every day and talk about the most interesting stories in the Bitcoin and crypto space. This is your host, Space Marine, live from space. The CME Bitcoin futures expiration has just happened. I'm recording this at 11:20 a.m. Eastern Time. The CME Bitcoin futures expiration was at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. London Time, which is the same time. They're 5 hours ahead of us. And the Bitcoin market has been absolutely wild as the CME expiration has approached. So Bitcoin hit a new 2019 high of $13,880 around 4 p.m. Eastern Time on June 26. That's only a couple of days ago. And since then, Bitcoin dropped as low as $10,200. So that's a massive drop of $3,660. However, just rewind to the past bull run. So the late 2017 bull run, little do people know that there was a few days where Bitcoin hit $18,000 and then it dropped to $13,000. And then a week later, it hit the all-time high of $20,000. So there is precedent for big crashes during a major bull run. It happened last time, actually, a few times. That's not the only one. There was other crashes of up to $1,000, even several thousand dollars. I think there's about three or four price drops along the way to $20,000. So this price drop we saw from around $14,000 down to $10,000 is nothing out of the ordinary. It's happened in the past during the last bull run in 2017, which is the only period in Bitcoin's market history that's comparable to the current market right now. And it probably has a lot to do with that CME Bitcoin futures expiration too. So I don't think it's a coincidence that the CME Bitcoin futures expiration was only about 2 days away when Bitcoin began to drop precipitously. CFTC, Commodity Futures Trading Commission data shows that institutional investors on CME were more short than long. There was like 14% more shorts than longs. And they kind of open these positions. They can open them any time of the month, but it was as of last week there was more shorts than longs. And they probably opened that near the beginning of the month based on how Bitcoin went down from $8,400 to $7,500 at the beginning of June. So it seems like they started the month with a short, and that didn't work out very well. Bitcoin began to rally like crazy up to the new 2019 high of almost $14,000. And perhaps it's possible, I cannot prove this, that CME traders were manipulating the market to go down so they wouldn't lose like everything they had. Because if you go short and then Bitcoin goes up like 100%, which is practically what happened this month, Bitcoin was at $7,500 and then it almost hit $14,000. Almost 100%, not quite. Well, anyways, it still went up a lot, and anyone in short positions got really wrecked. Like, for example, there was $500 million of liquidations in 24 hours on BitMEX during this. So whatever the case may be, CME traders didn't lose as much as they could have, but they probably still lost a lot. So the expiration price at 11 a.m. Eastern Time today was $11,700 on Bitstamp, and it started the month at $8,400, so Bitcoin rose $3,300 from the May expiration through the June expiration. So short sellers on CME did very poorly this month, and it would not be wise, as far as I could tell, to try to short it again in July. All the fundamental factors that was causing this bull run, including Chinese capital outflows, which has to do with the trade war between the United States and China. Basically, the United States and China are getting more tense, and China doesn't want the US dollar to be like the world currency anymore, so they're limiting the access to US dollars in China. This is causing a lot of people in China to launder their money offshore, and Bitcoin's somewhat involved in that probably, because it seems like there's a lot of money flowing from China to Hong Kong, and then in Hong Kong, people could buy Bitcoin, and lo and behold, Bitcoin's rallying a lot while the Chinese capital controls get more draconian. There's also the stock market is totally at its zenith right now. Like, the long-term resistance level for the Dow Jones is about 27,000 points, and it's been stuck there. So it rallied a bit, like, last week, and it's totally stuck at that long-term resistance level, and there's all this data, like, the debt is out of control across the world, credit debt, all sorts of government debt, and then trade data is declining, manufacturing data is declining. We even saw Ford cut like a ton of jobs in the past week. So yeah, the economy's not looking so good, and it seems like there's a possible future stock recession coming, especially because people are rushing into long-term bonds. So the 10-year bond yield is going down a lot for federal treasury bonds, and that indicates people are rushing into it as a safe haven in anticipation of a stock market recession. In fact, the bond yield curve is inverted multiple times, and that's like 100% of the time an indicator of stock recession is coming. A bond yield curve inversion means the 10-year bond rate for federal treasury bonds goes below the 3-month rate. So that means there's like just a massive amount of people rushing into the longer-term bonds, and Bitcoin's risen alongside that trend. And then also tensions with Iran continue, but nothing's happened this week, actually. So that's kind of cooled off for this week, but it's still a wild card. If anything happens with Iran that makes that war actually break out between the United States and Iran, it could practically be World War III, because Russia and China have voiced their support for Iran. They say they're going to, like, be with Iran if against us, basically, against the United States. So, yeah, that's a wild card. If something happens in Iran and the war breaks out, I think Bitcoin will rally a lot, because during a war, there's lots of fiat money printing to fund the war, basically, and that causes inflation. And if there's fiat inflation, Bitcoin automatically rises. Also, the stock market tends to do poorly during a world war because things are getting blown up and the trade gets all disrupted. And yeah, people lose money because of war. So zooming out, all the fundamental factors that probably caused this Bitcoin rally are still in place. Chinese capital outflows, possible future stock market recession, and Iran tensions. It may be block having speculation for May 2020. And it seems like maybe CME suppressed the market, like the CME Bitcoin futures traders might have manipulated the market downwards in order to cut their losses on their short positions, but they still lost big. So since these fundamental factors are still in place, I'd be very surprised if they bet short again and tried to drive against this market, because that's not really a good decision. It's actually a very costly decision. So that being said, perhaps Bitcoin has a chance at rising back to its 2019 all-time, well, the 2019 high and the resistance level near $13,900 in the coming week or so. It's possible, nothing's set in stone. They could go short, despite all I said, but because, you know, nothing's set in stone, and I'm not an oracle for the future, but I think it's more likely that they'll go long, and that'll actually enhance the rally. So, yeah, we'll see, but my intuition tells me it probably will rise up back towards $13,900. Notably this morning, so when the expiration happened, Bitcoin was at $11,700, and now it's near $11,900. And we actually saw a $100 price rise within a minute after the expiration. So that's a somewhat good sign, but still, increase of $200 is like nothing compared to what's been going on the past like 48 hours. So there's been plenty of movements like this. So I'm not going to say the $200 increase we've seen since the expiration is like a big deal, but it might be due to the expiration happening. Maybe some people speculating what I'm saying, that hey, CME took the pressure off the market now, like their foot's off the market, and maybe it'll just go back up now due to the fundamentals. As for the rest of the crypto market analysis, so the other major cryptocurrencies are mixed. So Ethereum is up 1.3% near $308. Ripple's down 0.2% near 42 cents. Bitcoin Cash is up 2.8% near $430. Litecoin's up 2% near $120. EOS is down 1.5% near $6. Binance Coin is up 0.6% near $35. And by the way, if you just look at the weekly charts for most of the major cryptos besides Bitcoin, like they're straight down like all week actually. Because even when Bitcoin was rallying a lot, the altcoins were barely rallying at all. So, and then Bitcoin went down and they crashed along with Bitcoin. So altcoins have been doing poorly like for the past week or two, even longer actually. So the Bitcoin dominance percentage has been rising. It's near 63% now. I believe it was 55% like 2 or 3 weeks ago. So basically Bitcoin's gained 8% relative to the rest of all the altcoins combined on average. And so that's the trend we've been seeing. People are like buying up Bitcoin and selling off their altcoins, basically. Continuing with the analysis, Bitcoin SV is actually up almost 13%. It's near $224. So Bitcoin SV is actually managing to rally right now. Cardano is down 1%. Oh yeah, back to Bitcoin SV for a second. So Craig Wright, the founder of Bitcoin SV, is testifying, like I believe like right around now, in a federal court in South Florida. I don't know exactly what's happened with that yet. I haven't seen any news yet, but maybe it has something to do with that, why Bitcoin SV is rallying. So Tron is just flat on the day. Stellar is up 1.1%. Bitfinex's Leo token's up 4.2%. Monero's up 6%. Dash is up 3.7%. Neo is up 7.3%. IOTA is up 1%. Cosmos is down 0.2%. Ethereum Classic is up 0.5%. Zcash up 10%. Zcash is managing to rally the past 24 hours. It's up to $112. And Dogecoin's up 13%. In fact, Dogecoin, like everything was in the red. Bitcoin was way down like the other day. And so was like all the major cryptos were down like 10 or 20%. And Dogecoin was up like 1%. So Dogecoin is somehow rallying pretty nicely the past couple of days. And in the past week, Dogecoin is up. So Dogecoin's up 13% this morning. It's rallying. Its market cap's up to near $420 million, interestingly enough. I'm not sure what's causing that Dogecoin rally, but it was the only major crypto that was profitable yesterday. So the total crypto market cap is now back up to $339 billion. And just to recap, the total crypto market cap hit a new 2019 high of $387 billion when Bitcoin hit its new 2019 high of $13,880. And then it dropped about $85 billion. It went down to $302 billion. And that's like one of the sharpest drops I've seen since I've been doing this show. And now the total crypto market cap has risen $37 billion. So it's recovering nicely off that low from this dip that happened. But it's still about $48 billion below the 2019 high. But it's moving up towards there at this time. Nice upward trend over the past 24 hours. Well, maybe the past like 20 hours or so. And just to note, this total crypto market cap of $339 billion is 239% above the bear market low of $100 billion in December. Moving on to the first news story of the day. So Iran really doesn't like Bitcoin because Iran's having serious economic problems. So we talked about how there's tensions between the United States and Iran. We mentioned that in the past several shows. Part of those tensions include basically the United States puts like the most serious, severe sanctions in history on Iran, and that's kind of like wrecking Iran's economy. And so the Iranian currency, the rial, has been declining in value a lot, not to mention like there's a lot of poverty going on and the economy is really messed up. But anyway, so the rial is their fiat currency. It's been losing a lot of value, so that makes people want Bitcoin. So instead of holding their money in rials, which is constantly losing value, they could hold their money in Bitcoin and actually make money. They could literally save money and make money on their savings instead of like losing their savings. So Iranians actually really like Bitcoin right now. But the Iranian government doesn't like that because they want to keep all the money that's there in the economy, because any capital outflows of people trying to rush out of Iran will cause the rial to collapse faster. So the news for today is that the Iranian government has seized 1,000 Bitcoin miners. And basically they said that it's like an illegal use of electricity. So literally the state-run electricity company says it's illegal to use the national power grid for Bitcoin mining. Imagine how crazy that would be if that happened in the United States, which of course wouldn't happen, but that's how it is in Iran right now. So they're trying to detect where the Bitcoin mining farms are. They could tell by if there's like a power surge. So these Bitcoin mining machines, 1,000 of them, were found in a couple of old factories. Like I said, they're having an economic recession, so there's factories closed down and stuff, and then they put a bunch of Bitcoin mining machines in the factory and started making Bitcoin, making money. And then they detected that the power surged, like there was a lot more power being used, and then they raided it and took the Bitcoin miners for illegal, quote-unquote, power use. Well, the real reason is they don't like Bitcoin because it threatens the Iranian rial, especially since the Iranian rial is really bad right now. It's kind of like comparable to the Venezuelan Bolivar. It hasn't gotten that bad yet. But yeah, the Iranian rial is doing very poorly, and the government doesn't want anything to compete with it. So that's the real reason they would seize 1,000 Bitcoin mining machines and also go on a hunt. Like, they're hunting right now for other Bitcoin mining machines, as I speak, even. So it's not a good time to be mining Bitcoin in Iran, but people need it, so they got to do what they got to do. Moving on to the next story. An Irish cryptocurrency exchange called Bitsane, I guess it's like insane, but Bitsane, well, they've run away. So they turned off their social media accounts. Their email account doesn't even work anymore. Their website is like gone. So imagine if you're using a crypto exchange and then it totally disappears. I guess it could happen if you're using like a shady exchange. So never use like a small exchange or like a shady exchange. Use the most reputable exchange like possible, like Bittrex or Coinbase, and I guess Binance if you're not in the United States. Don't use the smallest exchange, like, because stuff seems to keep happening to small exchanges around the world. So no one knows how much money was lost on Bitsane, but people are complaining across social media. One guy says he lost like $7,000. Another one says he lost $150,000. It's unknown how much the total that was lost was, but it seems like at least it's over $1 million. But yeah, we don't have the total yet, and if the total comes out, I'll update that on the next show. But yeah, an Irish cryptocurrency exchange called Bitsane has just gone straight up out of business. The timing is interesting because Bitcoin just had that price drop. So, and that causes a lot of people to try to like sell their Bitcoin. Like, so they have to withdraw their Bitcoin from the exchange generally to sell it. So there's tends to be runs on like crypto exchanges when there's big price drops or price rallies. But if there's a price rally, everyone goes to the crypto exchange and buys Bitcoin. When there's a price drop, like what just happened with Bitcoin dropping from near 14,000 to 10,000, everyone's trying to get their Bitcoin out so they can sell it because they're fearful it might drop to like nothing. There's actually a lot of panic like that among newbie traders. The seasoned, old, marinated traders, like, they know Bitcoin's going to go back up and this sort of stuff is kind of normal, but, like, new people panic and they try to sell. So maybe that happened on BitSane, everyone was withdrawing, and maybe they didn't really have all the Bitcoins that was needed for the withdrawal, so they just kind of disappeared. I'm really speculating here, but an interesting side note to the story is that during this price crash that happened about a couple days ago, Coinbase even, like, turned off for, like, a few minutes. Maybe it was, like, 20 or 30 minutes. My friend was actually sitting right next to me, and he literally took his Bitcoins out of his wallet and sent it to Coinbase, and then Coinbase was, like, down because everyone, I guess, was doing that. And then I said, hey, man, just, like, hold your Bitcoins. Don't, like, you can't be trading like this, or you shouldn't even be doing this, pretty much. And so, yeah, Coinbase went down because so many people were panicking. I guess BitSane, there was a panic there, but BitSane couldn't take that insanity. Moving on to the next story. So there's this video sharing site, kind of like a YouTube competitor, called Tata2. And they did an ICO for, like, a token, and they raised, actually, believe it or not, $575 million. And they acted like they were going to be, like, the crypto version of YouTube. And there's been, like, several attempts at this already, but they somehow raised $575 million. And they took that money gladly, and then they kind of broke away from cryptocurrency. So, like, the CEO of this project says they don't really do cryptocurrency. They have one blockchain component in their system, which is, like, the Tata2 token, which is still being traded. But it's constantly, like, losing value. Apparently, the trading volume is very low, too. But the data I see is that it has a market cap of $1.7 million. And remember, this was a $575 million ICO. Became $1.7 million now. The tokens, like, all the tokens that were Tata2 tokens traded under the symbol TTU, it's, like, lost all of its value, pretty much. The ICO investors really got wrecked. And the company's saying, well, we're not really doing crypto anymore. So they're just focusing on being a regular social media video site. And, here's what the CEO said to describe his project. It's a streaming platform mixed with social media that shares the value with the users. Apparently, they do give users rewards somehow. Maybe they use the token for that. I'm not really sure. But anyways, they're not really focused on blockchain or crypto, but they gladly took that $575 million, and I guess they have enough money. So moving on to the next story, there's a new theory about who Satoshi Nakamoto is. So Satoshi Nakamoto definitely wrote the Bitcoin white paper in 2008 and created Bitcoin. He launched it in 2009. And there's a lot of theories about who he is. Like, Craig Wright claims to be Satoshi Nakamoto. He's actually in federal court right now over a lawsuit for, like, 1.1 million Bitcoins. But yeah, he's the only person that's, like, over and over claimed to be Satoshi Nakamoto, but a lot of people don't believe he is. And then there's other theories, like Dave Kleinman, this man that lived in Florida, and he worked closely with Craig Wright. That's actually the court case. So Dave Kleinman and Craig Wright worked together on mining 1.1 million Bitcoins, and then Dave Kleinman died, and Craig Wright did not give any of those Bitcoins to Dave Kleinman's family. So that's what the court case is over. But it seems like maybe more likely that Dave Kleinman's Satoshi Nakamoto, but there's no proof of that. The point was, Satoshi Nakamoto really hid his identity, and I think it's a fact that the real Satoshi Nakamoto would not want to expose himself publicly. He went through a lot of effort to remain hidden because he had a feeling Bitcoin would be worth a lot, and he didn't want the government to come after him. Certainly, Satoshi would not suddenly reveal himself when Bitcoin's worth a lot like it is now. So yeah, maybe Dave Kleinman was Satoshi, but now here's this theory, and I have no idea if this is accurate or not. But it says basically there's this, like, software firm called GuardTime in Estonia, and this theory says Mike Gott, Mark Saripera, Otto Boldus, and Joichi Ito are Satoshi Nakamoto collectively. So the interesting part is that this firm called GuardTime, they had developed an enterprise blockchain as of 2008. So they've created blockchain technology around the time Satoshi created it. And now they're one of the biggest firms that creates enterprise blockchains for, like, companies and governments. And apparently these four individuals, and the theory says that they're collectively Satoshi Nakamoto, and that's been one of the theories, that Satoshi Nakamoto is not one person, but maybe a group of people. Well, so they were also interested in finance and talking about how there's fractional reserve banking and how that's not a good thing and stuff in the past. That being said, this is very interesting that they were creating blockchain technology maybe even before Satoshi even launched Bitcoin. But there's no proof of this, just like with all the other theories, even Craig Wright's theory. He has to show the private key from Satoshi's wallet. So Craig Wright keeps claiming to be Satoshi, but he's not showing the verifiable proof that he is. And no one showed verifiable proof. that they're Satoshi, and at this point, we do not know who Satoshi Nakamoto is conclusively, and that's actually a good thing. We do not want Satoshi Nakamoto to come out publicly because Bitcoin is decentralized, and if the founder and creator of Bitcoin comes out, that's going to be a centralized factor. Basically, everything he says will probably like impact the Bitcoin market, which is not a good thing. And also, if the real Satoshi were to come out, he'd probably be in a lot of danger, like criminals, people that want to steal his Bitcoins. He has like around 1 million Bitcoins, at least. They would want to steal those Bitcoins. And additionally, maybe the governments of the world would want to arrest him. So I don't know why Craig Wright's on a stand right now in a federal court saying he's Satoshi. He's actually trying to prove that in court right now, which is, I don't get it, because that's a dangerous move. There's a reason Satoshi went through great lengths to maintain his anonymity. So that's all I have for you today on this June 28th, 2019 edition of the Crypto.IQ Daily Radio Show. Come back tomorrow for another exciting episode and go to Crypto.IQ 24/7 for the most interesting stories in the Bitcoin and crypto space. Also join that Crypto.IQ trading desk. They have made over 400% profit since July, even in the worst of the bear market. And if you join the Crypto.IQ trading desk, you can see their trades in real time, and there's a full trade analysis with each trade. Just by reading their trade analysis, you will become an expert cryptocurrency trader. And it gets even better. You can ask the Crypto.IQ traders questions in real time, and they'll answer your questions pretty quickly. So joining the Crypto.IQ trading desk is the best way to become an expert and profitable cryptocurrency trader. This is your host, Space Marine, signing out. I remain in space.